Hare Krishna. So, we all are back again to our seminar after one day's break. In our two previous sessions, we discussed about the meaning of the term founder acharya, and while discussing that point we recognize the importance of an institution in order to spread Krishna consciousness effectively throughout the world, to continue the propagation of Krishna consciousness, especially after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. It is absolutely important to have an institution, because when a great personality comes, it is with his spiritual potency that he creates an incredible wave. He creates a tremendous influence. So when he is present on the planet, the propagation of his mission becomes a natural phenomenon. But then to continue it in his absence, there is a need. It is essential to have an institution, because without the institution, the mission would fall apart. So it is not only that Srila Prabhupada saw the need, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw the need, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur saw the need, and even before them, Srila Jiva Goswami saw the need. Jiva Goswami emphatically wrote and even gave a structure called the Royal Assembly of the Worldwide Vaishnavas. Isn't it an incredible foresight? Jiva Goswami, about 500 years back, he is giving a structure. Vishwa Vaishnav Raj Sabha, the Royal Assembly of the Worldwide. Vishwa means world, and Vaishnav, the Vaishnavas of the entire world, the assembly, a royal assembly, not an ordinary assembly, a royal assembly of the Vaishnavas internationally or worldwide. Now, it is actually, we can see, it is common sense that we need a structure. Let us consider, somebody builds a house, and when he builds the house, and then he leaves, and all kinds of people just walk into the house. How will they live in the house? Will they be able to properly live in that house? No. They'll start fighting about the proprietorship, and everybody will try to grab as much as they can. Especially in India, sometimes we see that happens to some properties where people just make their claim and try to take over. And government law is as such, you can't really evict them. But what happens is that they're just illegal intruders in that house. And as a result of that, they don't care for the house. They simply care for their own interest, and that they got a free place to live in. They don't renovate, they don't take care of the house, and within a very short time, the house just falls apart. Now, if we consider that Srila Prabhupada built a house where the whole world can live, then isn't it essential that we recognize who is the proprietor of the house? If we don't emphatically point out who is the proprietor, then we can consider what will happen inevitably. Therefore, it is important that the house that Srila Prabhupada built, where the whole world can live, we have to recognize who is the proprietor of the house. And in this institution, everybody must represent him. And in order to maintain the proper functioning of that structure or the institution, Srila Prabhupada created the governing body. And it is the responsibility of the governing body to make sure that Srila Prabhupada's house is maintained according to Srila Prabhupada's plan. The purpose of the institution, Srila Prabhupada has given the strategy and the plan for the functioning. What is the objective of this institution Srila Prabhupada built? And it is up to the GBC that they should execute Srila Prabhupada's plan, Srila Prabhupada's will. So in course of our discussion we considered the importance of these two factors in a proper functioning of the institution. Like when we say ISKCON, anybody can come and say that I am the real ISKCON. It is happening. Groups of devotees are when they defect from ISKCON and they try to create something, then they say that our ISKCON is the real ISKCON, and that ISKCON is dead. Rather, this ISKCON is dead. They claim that. Now, how do you figure out which is real ISKCON? So when I come across such claim or allegation, then I say, my point is that ISKCON is the institution where Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya and the GBC body is the executor of Srila Prabhupada's will. That is ISKCON. Now if you can create a society, if this ISKCON is not functioning in that way, yes, you have a responsibility to create an ISKCON, to seek to continue Srila Prabhupada's legacy. And the legacy will be continued by establishing Srila Prabhupada as a founder acharya and a collective body of devotees who are maintaining the institution according to Srila Prabhupada's strategy, according to Srila Prabhupada's plan. And that is ISKCON. Now when we look at that, when we see where we have that structure, and from that we can figure out where is the real ISKCON. Real ISKCON is the institution where Prabhupada is the founder acharya and the governing body is the ultimate managing authority. And they are not also managing this instruction, the institution, whimsically, but they have to manage according to Srila Prabhupada's Srila Prabhupada's blueprint, according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And where is Srila Prabhupada's instructions? The books. Srila Prabhupada's books are the basis on which this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is founded on. And so this is how we discussed. And then we discussed about Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder acharya. Like, what does it actually mean? Now, in a spiritual institution, the position of the founder acharya is the preeminent Shiksha Guru, is that of the preeminent Shiksha Guru. Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual master for everybody who joins this institution. And those who become spiritual masters in ISKCON, they actually become so according to the authority that has been awarded to them by the institution itself. So that means it is the institution that is appointing these leaders, spiritual leaders. Therefore, they must function as a representative of the institution, or to be more precise, we can say that they have to function as the representatives of Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. So they have to represent Srila Prabhupada. Now, when we represent, then what does it actually mean? I am representing somebody. What does it actually mean? So, to clarify the meaning of that term, representation, we can say, say for example, somebody is representing Sony in India. So that means that he is the person who is actually through whom we can get Sony. Isn't it? If I want Sony product, then where do we go? We have to go to the person who is representing Sony. So when somebody is representing Srila Prabhupada, what does it mean? He's representing, he's giving Srila Prabhupada. He is standing there in order to give Srila Prabhupada. So that is the position of all the spiritual leaders of ISKCON. Now, we don't use the expression transparent via medium. So that is a representative. Through him, he is transparent. Through him, we get the personality absolutely clearly. So if we want Prabhupada, we go to them, and it is they give Prabhupada to us. Now, then we came to one concept of preeminent Shiksha Guru, or the founder Acharya of an institution, and the example we drew, there are plenty of examples like that, like in Ramanuja Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya is that founder Acharya. He created an institution which is named after him, Ramanuja Sampradaya. Similarly, Madhvacharya, Madhva Sampradaya. So, in Ramanuja Sampradaya, there are many gurus, many spiritual leaders, but generations after generations, what they're doing, they are actually, Ramanujacharya is a preeminent personality, and the gurus are taking their followers, their disciples, to Ramanujacharya. And they have a concept in that respect is Ramanujacharya is a Uddhara Guru, the Deliverer Guru, and the successors of Ramanujacharya are known as Upakaraka Guru, the Benefactor Spiritual Master. So the Benefactor Spiritual Masters are taking their disciples to Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya is delivering them, that is, Ramanujacharya is taking them to Lakshmi Narayan. Now, somebody may say, well, that is a Ramanuja concept. We are not Ramanuja Sampradaya. We are ISKCON. We are Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. But in order to establish that very similar point, we quoted two verses from Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur is telling that when will I have the good fortune to receive the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. And he, by his mercy, I heard from the saintly personalities that one gets Radha Krishna. When will my Lord and Master, Lokanath Goswami, who was his spiritual master, so when will Lokanath Goswami take me by my hand and offer me to Rupa Goswami, or take me to Rupa Goswami? Now, isn't it very clear? Lokanath Goswami, his guru, is taking him to Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami is engaging him in the service of Radha Krishna. Another verse from Narottam Das Thakur mentioned that very fearfully, I will stand behind Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is actually Rupa Goswami. Stand behind Rupa Manjari, and seeing me, the transcendental couple will ask, Rupa, where did you get this new maid servant? And Rupa Manjari replied that Manjulali brought her to me. So this concept in our sampradaya is not novel or unusual. It is there. So similarly, in our sampradaya, our acharya, founder acharya of the sampradaya, that is ISKCON sampradaya. In this sampradaya, in this institution, for all the members, that delivering personality is Srila Prabhupada. And when you go deeper into this, the structure of the spiritual world, then you find that there are different groups and there are different group leaders. Like Radha Krishna has, there are different groups. Lalita Devi's group, Vishakha Devi's group, Chandrabali's group. Of course, Chandrabali's group is conflicting with Radharani's group, so we don't have much to do with them. Lalita Devi's group is subdivided further. Like they have Lalita Devi's group, Lalita Devi is the group leader. Her name, she is called Jutheshwari. Jutha means a group, and Ishwari means the lady. The leader of the group is Lalita Devi. And then there are Lalita Devi's group again has subgroups, like one group is Rupa Manjari's group. And in this way, then Rupa Manjari's group again has subdivisions, like her assistants have her groups. And in this way, it has an unlimited number of individuals with unlimited number of group leaders. Now, Prabhupada used to say that ISKCON is there in the spiritual sky also. What does it mean? It means that when you go back to the spiritual sky, we will find Srila Prabhupada is a group leader. Srila Prabhupada is a group leader, and it is under Srila Prabhupada's direction that we'll be engaged in devotional service. And that doesn't mean that because Prabhupada is a group leader, there is not going to be any other leaders. No, there will be subdivisions. There will be subgroups in Prabhupada's group again. And respective gurus will be the leaders of their group, engaging their disciples in Prabhupada's service. So in this way, in the spiritual platform, everything is perfectly harmonized. Anyway, so these are the two these are the points that we covered in last 2 days sessions. And so last time we didn't have much time to invite questions, and I think I basically covered this main concept of Prabhupada's position and ISKCON and Prabhupada's role as the founder acharya. Now, if anybody has any question, can ask. Yes, Suresh Prabhu.
I have two related questions.
Yeah.
Do you want to mind,
please? Yeah, please.
The first question is a kind of... First question is a kind of restatement of a question I asked you over breakfast a couple of days ago, and it relates to the the relationship between Shiksha and Diksha. And I'm asking it again because I thought it would help all of us here. Is it, well, first of all, a pre-question, I guess, is it fair to say that the essence of Diksha, as many think, is Shiksha? The essence of initiation being the instruction. As Prabhupada himself said, when I met my spiritual master, I accepted it immediately, not officially, but in my heart. And then 10, 11 years later, he was initiated. So Srila Prabhupada's books, I'll try to get to the point. Srila Prabhupada's books being the law books, the foundation, etc. So then many would say, or some would say, therefore, Srila Prabhupada is still initiating. He is, in fact, the current Diksha Guru because his books, his instructions, are informing us of everything. This is where everything's coming from. So, isn't Srila Prabhupada still the initiating guru? That's the first, so please.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada also emphatically pointed out that books are not enough. To reveal the books, the instructions, to reveal the instructions of the books, you need teachers. So you need a teacher who is going to explain the books to you. And a teacher is a person who has a clear understanding of what the books are meant for. So that is one aspect, that in spite of the books, we need teachers. That is one aspect. And the other aspect is, you see, the spiritual life is a process of surrender. And that is why there is a need of formal initiation. That is, through that formal initiation, you are surrendering yourself to somebody. So this is the aspect of Diksha that has been clearly pointed out. Diksha kale shishya kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, the disciple surrenders himself to the guru. Shei kale Krishna tare kore atma shama. At that time, Krishna accepts him. So if I can't surrender to a person who is representing the person, the main personality, then where is the guarantee that we are going to surrender to the main personality? Why does Krishna want us to surrender to him? Well, through the process of initiation, because Krishna wants to see that if you really want to accept my authority, then accept the authority of my representative. Right? Now to say that I will surrender to Krishna but not to anybody else, that means we are not really becoming surrendered. So this formality of initiation is a token of surrender. At least one person, ultimately we have to surrender to the entire community of Vaishnavas. But that process begins through the surrender to one person. At least officially we are accepting that here is the person I am surrendering myself to. Right? And then, it is not that because I have accepted one person, that's it. No. As I make advancement, then the dimension of my surrender increases. First I surrender to one, then more, and then ultimately I surrender myself to the entire community of devotees. Isn't that the sign of an Uttamadhikari? Let's see the different stages of progression in spiritual life. Who is a Kanishtha Adhikari? Who is a neophyte devotee? According to Rupa Goswami, the neophyte devotee is one who accepts Krishna. Here, accepts Krishna as God. But he doesn't recognize his devotees. That's a neophyte devotee. Archayam eva haraye pujam jashuddhaye hati. natat bhakteshu janneshu sau bhakta prakrita smita. Archayameva hara, he worships Krishna, Hari. Pujang yashodhayat, with respect. With respect he worships Krishna. But he doesn't recognize, natat bhakteshu janneshu. He doesn't recognize his devotees. He is prakrita smita. He is a neophyte devotee. Who is a second class devotee? Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu visatsucha premo maitri kripa upekha jakarati samadhama. Ishvare, he recognizes Krishna as God. And to him he has love. To Krishna's devotees he has friendship. To the innocent, to the ignorant, he has compassion. And to the offenders, he has disregard. So that is a Madhyamadhikari devotee. But who is a Uttamadhikari devotee? Sarvabhuteshu japashyat bhagavad bhavamatmana. He sees everybody as devotees of Krishna and considers only he could become a devotee. So this is how the spiritual reality works. We begin with thinking that I am the greatest, I am the only devotee in the entire planet. Krishna is God and I am the only devotee. But then as we make advancement, then I begin to see, well, there are others also who are devotees of Krishna. And then finally I see that everybody is a devotee, only I couldn't become a devotee. So that is why, you know, the process, the formality of surrender is very important. So that is why the formality of Diksha is there. And actually, now let me also tell you one thing. It's a very pertinent question, that's why I'm taking the time to. Because this question is giving me the opportunity to explain some intricate points. Actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that for the sake of holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there is no need of Diksha and there is no need of Purashcharja, purification. It's a Diksha Purashcharja Vidhi Apekshana Kari Jivbhas Parshe Achandali Shavari Uddhari. This holy name does not depend upon Diksha or Purashcharja. Just by coming in contact with the tongue, it purifies even a Chandal, a dog eater. Now, that is the verse. But Jiva Goswami is saying, although the holy name does not depend upon initiation. Why? Because, you see, the process of initiation was essential previously, because, you see, mantras were secret. Mantras, those days one couldn't just walk and start reading, get a book and, you know, get the mantras, right? The mantras were kept as a secret. And it is only through the process of initiation that one used to get the mantra. The mantras were secret, Gayatri, a secret, kept as a secret. But the guru would give the Gayatri to a qualified candidate. In a secret way, like he would just whisper to his ears so that nobody else can hear it. So without Diksha one could not get the mantra, and without getting the mantra there was no question of spiritual advancement. That's why Diksha was essential. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra public. Gave it to, anybody can chant. That is why there is no need for Diksha, formality of Diksha. Because the mantra has been given in public. But because, the guidance and the process of surrender, the Diksha has been recommended. Now Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you can read that purport of this. verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada also clearly mentions that because of these reasons, diksha is essential. But diksha is recommended, one can say.
So regardless of who we're taking, whom we're taking our prominent inspiration from, if we're actually coming closer to Krishna, we're going to be surrendering to people, real live people who can bring us closer to Krishna. Okay, and the parampara that Srila Prabhupada listed at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that's coming from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur list, the 32 names, with Prabhupada as the latest one?
No, that is the Bhagavad parampara. That's not Bhagavad Gita's parampara.
I mean...
Oh, that's the line.
That's
the line.
Yeah. So someone asked me recently, so if the parampara is continuing with us, subsequent to Srila Prabhupada, does that mean that, how does that work, just in terms of a listing the parampara? That means it's all of a sudden hundreds of names below Prabhupada? Or is that list in the Gita, is that just a list of prominent acharyas? Is that what that list is?
That's the list of prominent acharya, and that also, the line is shiksha.
Shiksha line.
Like, for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not initiated by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj.
Right.
He was initiated by Bipin Vihari Goswami.
Right.
But the line is drawn as Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Similarly, Baladev Buddha Bhushan was not the guru of initiating guru of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Similarly, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was not the initiating spiritual master of Baladev Buddha Bhushan. So the line is exclusively a shiksha line.
Right.
And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually drew the siksha flow, not according to diksha. So that also indicates that it is a shiksha line. Our line, disciplic succession, is shiksha parampara, which is known as Bhagavat parampara. And how this parampara will flow, time will tell. But in ISKCON, at least, we know that everybody is giving Prabhupada. Because everything that we instruct is according to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Srila Prabhupada's books.
So although we're continuing the parampara, there's no need to list any other prominent acharya, at least in our line.
Why worry about it?
People do worry about it.
Yeah. No, I say they're wasting their time. They're wasting. Who is going to be the next, prominent acharya? You see, a simple point is that does a servant think who among us is going to become the most famous one?
No, they don't think like that. They think there's no need to even consider who's directly initiating now, because Srila Prabhupada's directly initiating, and therefore that's it.
Not directly initiating. The initiation process, for initiation we need a living guru.
Right.
Initiation, shiksha can be received from, someone who is not present. Right. Say for example, Rupa Goswami is a shiksha guru. No one will contest that concept. But if somebody says that Rupa Goswami is my diksha guru, then yes, we'll have problem accepting that. So diksha is a bidhi, is a formality of rules and regulations. And the diksha guru demands that the guru has to be, one has to take diksha from a living guru. Living means one who is present. Of course, on a spiritual context, everyone is living. Right? Rupa Goswami is also living. But unfortunately, I can't communicate with Rupa Goswami. If I could, then yes, probably I could have taken initiation from Rupa Goswami. But until I can communicate with him, like say for example, Like Vasudev, or Madhvacharya, got direct instruction from Vasudev. You know, Vasudev is still present, and he took the instructions from Vasudev. Similarly, Mrigadi got the instruction from Narad Muni. Or, you know, there are galore of people, you know, who got instruction from, who had personal encounter with Narad Muni. These personalities are still present. But for an ordinary conditioned soul, it is imperative that he needs someone present to take diksha from, someone present to surrender himself to.
One last related point is the concept of benefactor and deliverer gurus, which you mentioned. It really sounds close to Ritvik, the Ritvik system, that, you know, I, the Ritvik, am really bringing you to the real deliverer, Srila Prabhupada. So, what is it?
Yeah, then the point will be, yes, and take the responsibility of their spiritual life. Those who we are taking to Srila Prabhupada, take the responsibility becoming their teachers. Not just say that, well, you know, like they are all belonging to Srila Prabhupada and I don't have anything to do, I can just do any nonsense that I want to, right? But no, if you have to become a guru, then you have to follow certain standard. Right? If you want to become a teacher, you have to become qualified. Right? Not that I can do any nonsense and, you know, like I am fine, you know, like, and they're fine, I'm okay, you're okay. The problem in the Ritvik philosophy is, like, as long as they say Prabhupada's position as the preeminent acharya, no one will actually disagree with them. I mean, that's a very good point, and I mean, very pertinent point. But to say that Prabhupada will continue to initiate, there the problem lies. Like, first of all, there is no scriptural evidence of such a system. So how can we implement something as the norm when there is no evidence, no support from sadhu, shastra and guru? Right? So that is the problem. On the other hand, you know, if you say, well, I'm representing Srila Prabhupada and I'm guiding these people to take them to Srila Prabhupada, you know, I mean, it's fine. Only the missing link with them is that, you know, taking the responsibility to take them to Srila Prabhupada.
So, and the other problem is, if I initiate and I think I'm the deliverer?
First of all, a Vaishnav never thinks like that. A Vaishnav is always humble. He thinks himself completely unqualified. Didn't you see that in Srila Prabhupada, who is a Jagat Guru, who delivered the whole world? You know, what kind of attitude he took? I am nothing. It is my spiritual master who saved me. And he is going to save you all. I am not qualified, but my spiritual master is a pure devotee. Although I am useless, but because I am taking you to my spiritual master, you all are safe. On the other hand, if I think that I don't need the help of my spiritual master anymore, now I am the guru and I am going to do everything, you can consider the inevitable. So Vaishnava is always humble. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself is coming and telling, coming as a devotee. He is not even assuming, he is even not thinking that I am the deliverer. He is thinking, he is saying that, Krishna will bestow his mercy upon you. So that is the common spiritual mood. On the other hand, if somebody thinks that now I am the deliverer, I think he'll have a major spiritual problem.
Because the transparency is lost.
Then. Transparency is lost.
Yeah.
Rather, a devotee thinks that I am unqualified myself. I do not know where I'll make it back to Godhead. How can I assure all these hundreds of people who are becoming my disciples that I'll take them back to Godhead when I do not know myself whether I'll make it? Isn't it? Or does a pure devotee think that now I have become pure devotee so I can deliver the whole universe? Rather, more purified. Now here again it comes to the same consideration. Neophyte, Madhyam and Uttam. Hmm. And that is why Uttam Adhikari doesn't give initiation. Because he thinks that everybody else got Krishna, only I couldn't get Krishna. So how can I initiate? Because they all, when I do not have, how can I give it to others? And how can I dare to assume the role of a giver when I do not have and they all have it?
Thank you.
Thank you, Suresh Prabhu. There's a question in the back. Give him the mic.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada speaks in his purpose about the division of the Guru principle. Chaitya Guru, Pranakshaka Guru, Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. Could you please elaborate about Varnakshaka Guru?
What Guru?
Varnakshaka Guru.
Bhatma Pradarshan. Okay, yeah. You see, actually, there are two types of Gurus. Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. But Bhatma Pradarshan Guru is the one who shows the way. Like the first person who brings us to Krishna consciousness, he is the Bhatma Pradarshak Guru. Bhatma means path, and Pradarshak means indicator and Guru. The Guru who shows us the path. So he is the Bhatma Pradarshak Guru. But in a way, he is also a kind of Shiksha Guru. Although specifically he is identified as Bhatma Pradarshak Guru, but actually he is also a Shiksha Guru. And Prabhupada said that Shiksha Guru can be many, but Diksha Guru is one. Because in the right path, in bona fide path, we just take initiation once. And then there are many Gurus who actually show us the way. But here also another interesting point comes up. That is, Prabhupada mentioned that I am your Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru, both. Srila Prabhu, are you familiar with that statement of Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada mentioned that. I am your Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru, both. And that is mainly because Prabhupada didn't want us to go out to take Shiksha from anybody. So those who are actually going out to get Shiksha, thinking that Prabhupada is not here anymore, they're making a major mistake. And on the other hand, Prabhupada said that everything is in my books. Everything is in my books. And don't you see that? When you read Prabhupada's books, they come, Prabhupada's instructions practically dispel all our doubts.
There's a statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that one should not discriminate between one Vaishnava and another, considering him greater or lesser. What is wrong with using that argument to say that, oh well, Srila Prabhupada's great achievements is not a factor to establish his super excellence, because right there it says that one should see all the devotees, whether small or great, as equal.
Yeah. You see, when we approach the scriptures, we have to understand that we are dealing with achinta, bheda bheda, simultaneously one and different. The spirit of that statement is that recognize all Vaishnavas as being transcendentally situated. They are all Krishna's dear devotees. But that doesn't mean that we don't make any discrimination. We see a new bhakta also as a Vaishnava, and we see a Mahabhagavat also a Vaishnava. But obviously there is a difference between a neophyte devotee and a Mahabhagavat. Now to think that both Mahabhagavat and a neophyte both are on the same platform is very unfortunate stupidity. Like, will anybody admit that Rupa Goswami and a new bhakta, Bhakta Joe, are on the same platform? What does your common sense say? So there you are. We see everyone as Vaishnava, but at the same time we see who is situated in which platform. Otherwise it will be impersonalism. On the other hand, the Vaishnava community recognizes the greatness of a Vaishnava with all due respect. But at the same time, therefore, in the Vaishnava community there is a consideration. Senior, equal and junior. Those who are senior to us, they are above us. Those who are equal to us, to our peers, they are like our friends. And those who are junior, they are an object of our compassion and affection. That is how the relationships are built. Yes, somebody take the microphone.
Just one, if I may, Maharaj, just one quick comment and two quick questions. I'll try to keep my words as few as possible. The comment is as far as the going back to the that Ritvik question, sometimes it seems like we're almost approaching that mood in our glorification of Srila Prabhupada as actually as the spiritual master for the whole society. But there's also the factor of responsibility that even a quote-unquote minor Diksha Guru will take. According to Shastra, he's still responsible for the disciple. He has to come back or at least experience some inconvenience for the weaknesses of the disciples. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a Srila Prabhupada quote where he says, if I have some fault, said maybe I've taken too many unqualified disciples. So those who are proponing the Ritvik theory at a supposed glorification and love for Prabhupada, they may be unwittingly trying to create so much inconvenience to send generation after generation of more Diksha disciples. That according to Sastra, he has to continue to take that. Srila Prabhupada has done enough. He's taken enough burden as far as that particular responsibility is concerned. So I just wanted to make that comment. I hope that it's agreeable.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's a very pertinent point. Yeah.
And questions in brief. First one is this idea of appointing, that the guru is appointed by the institution. Of course, we're not talking about appointment like going back to 1977 appointment or 78. I understand that. But it still seems a little clumsy that an administrative body would dominate over a brahminical function, which should be independent, just like Chanaka Pandit was completely independent of Chandragupta. And the other question... In brief.
Can I answer this one first?
By all means.
I'll go to the next point, next question later. Otherwise, I may get mixed up. Well, it is, again, in a very pertinent question. But my response to that will be, you see, when one is functioning as a representative, then the managing structure or the highest managing authority of the institution has the responsibility to select a candidate according to his qualification and empower him to function in that capacity. You see, it is happening because, you know, that the individuals who are assuming the responsibility of a spiritual master, they're doing it representing the institution. Right? And that is why the gurus in ISKCON are under GBC. In normal condition, a guru doesn't come under any structure. Any, as you said, like, you know, like how they would come under a body, under a managing body of managers. So that's my response. I mean, if it is okay, I mean, I'll ask you, is that answer all right for you?
Yeah, as long as it's not misunderstood that the institution could make me a guru. They could empower me that I already am naturally, by my own sincerity, say I've gotten to that point. And then they could say, now use your spiritual advancement within the structure of the institution. But it's not that they could empower me in the sense that spiritually they're going to elevate me by touching me in that way.
Yeah, that's why it is imperative that the gurus in ISKCON must function as a representative of ISKCON. Like, I am not qualified, but because ISKCON has given me the responsibility, I'm executing that responsibility on behalf of ISKCON. And those who are approaching me for spiritual guidance, my duty is to situate them properly in ISKCON so that eventually they can become properly engaged in Srila Prabhupada's service and thus attain his lotus feet. So that is the concept.
But my consciousness has to be sufficiently advanced.
Naturally. And that is, you know, somebody has to judge. Like previously what used to happen, the disciple used to select the guru. Right? You know, since there was no institution or there was no structure, it was up to the disciple to figure out, you know, who they want to accept as guru. The guru would not say that I am now spiritual master. Right? But, you know, like seeing a Vaishnava, you know, being impressed by his spiritual qualities, a candidate would approach him for initiation. And it was up to that Vaishnava whether he would accept him or not. So that was the normal, it was up to the disciples to approach a guru. But because, you know, we have the institution of ISKCON, now it is the responsibility of the institution to nominate and or select some individuals to execute certain function. Just like, you know, Ford Motor Company, you know, wants a general manager. So it is the Ford executive authority or the board of directors will select a candidate according to the candidate's qualification, right? So that it is a similar kind of a situation. Like, it is not that the society, since one became a guru, we have to accept that he is what a guru is meant to be. But we have to understand that the society has appointed a person to function in certain capacity on behalf of the society.
And recognizing that he was qualified.
So it is up to them to decide whether he is qualified. And if that body sees that the person is not qualified, then they can tell him that, look, you have to step down. You are not really qualified. You are not really functioning according to our expectation. And the individual guru has to be submissive to the line of authority.
hopefully the institution will be sensitive enough to spot that before he steps up. So
that's
nip it
yeah,
in the bud.
That is there also.
Rather than let them step up and then when there's a disaster, now step down.
And you see, a sincere soul, what he would try to do is that he will try to improve himself. He'll begin with the understanding that I'm not qualified. But because the Vaishnavas are asking me to function in that capacity, although I'm not qualified, because of their goodwill and empowerment, that I am accepting the responsibility. But in course, let me try to become qualified, try to improve myself to execute that responsibility properly.
Just quickly, the second question.
Yeah, sure.
I was taught that there are four Vaishnav Sampradayas, and each Sampradaya has its own resolution of the relationship between the one and the many. It's basically what it boils down to. And of course, the culmination of everything is that Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, which you mentioned. Yet at the same time, you're mentioning Prabhupada or an ISKCON Sampradaya. I have a little difficulty with that. I know you mentioned there are subgroups, but I assume we're still in part of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, but we're the ISKCON branch of that, you might say. I don't know. I just, the word Sampradaya, I thought it was more formal and also it had something to do with doctrine. And Srila Prabhupada, I don't think, pretended to reinterpret or go beyond that. So that was my other question.
Yeah. First of all, there are four sampradayas, and there is a very special sampradaya that is Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created a very special, a very special sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took two aspects of each sampradaya and he created this Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. So all the four sampradayas are actually merging. All the sampradayas are merging into this one, that is Gaudiya Sampradaya. And in Gaudiya Sampradaya, yes, it is Mahaprabhu's line. But what we have to see, where the real line is flowing, just to claim that I am connected to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not enough. Like on the first day we discussed about the Sahajiyas, the upper sampradayas, they claim that they are Mahaprabhu's line, but they do not have any semblance or any connection to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. Now, this line had been revived by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then it was furthered by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's institution disintegrated, then Srila Prabhupada, from the ruins of Gauriya Math, revived ISKCON. So, actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's line is actually flowing through ISKCON. The real line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually flowing through ISKCON. Now, who did it? Srila Prabhupada did it. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has a very special place in this sampradaya. Just as, see, Sri Sampradaya is a sampradaya, but Ramanujacharya revived the Sri Sampradaya in this age. Therefore, Ramanujacharya has a special place, and the Sampradaya is named after him, or the line is named after him. Same with Madhvacharya, like Ramanuja Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya. Similarly, in course of time, it will become obvious how Srila Prabhupada is actually is the personality who revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. And not only revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, But he actually spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, fulfilling his prediction all over the world. And because of this incredible achievement of Srila Prabhupada, he will have a very special position in this sampradaya. So, yeah, you have a question? Does it satisfy the, I mean, your answer? Right, exactly. Just like, you know, we have a Rupanuga Sampradaya. Same line, Mahaprabhu's line is flowing, but, you know, Rupa Goswami has a very special place in that Sampradaya. And that particular line is known as Rupa, is named after Rupa Goswami. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada is actually another such acharya, you know, who establishes, who revives and fulfills the prediction of the previous acharyas. Beg your pardon? Prabhupada still remains Rupanuga, Prabhupada still remains Gaudiya, just as Ramanujacharya still remains a Sri Vaishnava. Right, but still there is a line, Ramanuja. Similarly, Prabhupada is Gaudiya Vaishnava, Prabhupada is a Rupanuga, but still, you know, of all the Rupanugas, you know, there is a very special flow of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Yes.
Hare Krishna. In your movie Apache Run, I mean, not you, but under your direction, I saw that Gaura Kishore Das Bhavali Maharaj gave initiation to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and he spoke some mantra to him. And I suppose you study some sources, and it's interesting to know which mantra he spoke to him.
Yeah. You see, when the Guru gives the mantra, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is, you know, is public. There is no secret need of giving that. But what he gave him is the Gayatri Mantra. And in our line we have, the Guru gives the Gayatri. Right, that is the mantra he received from Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj.
Do you know, Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj? I mean, initiated.
Initiating spiritual master? I don't know. I don't know.
And I have a second, so to say, technical question. I remember that Prabhupada, he told to his disciple, do not accept a disciple in the presence of spiritual master. And but now we can see in our society some maharajas, they start to initiate, not many, but some of them.
Yeah. You see, if the Guru gives the permission, then the disciple can take disciples. And during Prabhupada's time, it was very, you know, Prabhupada's position in ISKCON is so prominent that, you know, it was, it would have been absolutely inappropriate to accept disciples in presence of Srila Prabhupada, when the founder Acharya is present, you know. But therefore it seems that Prabhupada was emphatic about that situation. But in the Vaishnava Sampradaya there are many instances when, you know, someone accepted disciples when his guru was present. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, we can see that during the time of the six Goswamis there was only one group, and we can see that now today in ISKCON there is many groups, because you were speaking in the class that all his corn is going to throw Srila Prabhupada. Then this many different groups, it is due to what? Is it due to the institution, the gurus, or the disciples?
Well, you see, when there is a structure, this kind of groups are natural. Like, look at the army, right? On top of the army is the general. And say, under him, there's a brigadier, right? Now, brigadier has his group, right? Under the brigadier, there's a colonel, right? He has his group, right? Under the colonel, there are majors. He has his groups. So in this way, small groups are consisting of the entire army, but they all are functioning under one head. So to have many groups is not harmful or is not undesirable, provided they all function under one head. Right? And that head is Srila Prabhupada. So with that one head, there can be thousands of groups. There's no problem. But the problem will be when these thousand different groups become independent and they start to function according to their own sweet whims.
But sometime in India, we see that in some places it's creating some difficulties.
Well, I will say this difficulty, why there are difficulties. You'll see when the difficulties are there, when they are not actually functioning under one head. Right? Like, say, for example, Sony has 500 different branches in America. Right? But they all are working under the banner of Sony. So that's why they are not conflicting. But, you know, if each one starts to think that I'm on my own, then the trouble will be. So we can, in most cases you'll find whenever there is difficulties, the difficulties are due to not really functioning under one structure, not looking at the interest and the instruction of the founder Acharya. Say, for example, as a spiritual master, if I consider that all my disciples are Prabhupada's property, and say you are another spiritual master, and you consider that all your disciples are Prabhupada's property, then there won't be any conflict, any problem. But if I think that my disciples are my property, and you think that your disciples are your property, then yes, there will be a conflict of interest. Another example can be given. Say, since I give the example of Sony. Sony have 500 branches, right? And 500 bank accounts, right? Now, when you buy a Sony product, Sony doesn't care into which account you are depositing the money. Isn't it? Because ultimately all are coming to Sony. But if the bank, the branch manager thinks that the money that comes to me is my money, then there will be trouble.
You are giving the example of the gurus. That means the fault is from the guru, if he's thinking that I am not bringing my disciples to Prabhupada, this is mine, and the other guru is also thinking the same, that means it's coming from.
I
understand it.
No, I mentioned that whenever there is problem, as you said, like different groups having problem, you'll see the problem is due to that. Like, actually, even when Prabhupada was present, we had this problem. Do you know that? Because then the GBCs had their zones. And one GBC from his zone used to think that this is my zone and these are my people, right? And if somebody took his men away from his zone to his zone, then they would get into conflict. Right? Why did you take my name? But if they saw that, well, we all are functioning under Srila Prabhupada and everything is going to Srila Prabhupada. Like, for example, if one zone is having difficulties and other zone has the ability to help them, in many cases they didn't do that. They didn't help. Why? Because they were not thinking as one ISKCON. They were thinking in terms of their zones. Right? Therefore, it is important that we see everything. We see that ISKCON is one body, one institution. And Srila Prabhupada is the head. And with time, we are learning. You see, when devotees are young, immature, they make mistakes. But through their mistakes, they're learning. At least I can tell you the way the situation was in ISKCON 20 years back. I mean, there's a big difference today, you know. Like 20 years back, you know, we could dream of ISKCON like this, you know, the way it is today, you know. I can tell you, 20 years back, I couldn't give a class like this. What to speak of a seminar. And who knows what's going to happen 20 years after. So, as long as the devotee's intentions are sincere, Krishna will help. They'll make mistakes, they'll learn, and as a result of that, ISKCON will become stronger and purer. Hare Krishna. Yes, Rishi Prabhu.
Maharaj, as you know, it was a motive of mine in begging you to, or asking you to teach this seminar, to learn from you and to become qualified also to teach this kind of seminar. So, because to my mind, and this relates to Prabhupada Prabhu's question, he used the word clumsy, that it's rather clumsy, or as we say in America, tacky, to have an administrative body appointing or designating gurus. So it was my idea that if we could proliferate these kinds of seminars, that it would help ground everyone in their foundational relationship with Srila Prabhupada, so that people could make informed, educated choices about who they wanted to approach for initiation. So, is this idea kind of, is it compatible with the GBC still, you know, appointing or recognizing who is fit to initiate? Because we've had a very checkered, or even shoddy, you could say, track record in recognizing who over the long haul is fit to initiate. Many people have been disappointed, betrayed, devastated in that process. As Prabhupada writes, I believe, you can correct me, that a guru is not appointed or recognized by some ecclesiastical convention. Rather, what we find in our Founder Acharya's books is the mutual examination of prospective disciple and guru. So, wouldn't these kinds of events be more effective in the long run for ensuring the continuation of Prabhupada's mission than having our governing body appoint or recognize, or however you want to put it, gurus?
Thank you, Sri Rishi Prabhu. Well, to respond to the first half of your question or comment, I would very much like to do that. Because more and more I am becoming aware of the need of recognizing Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya. The GBC passed many resolutions, actually. GBC recognizes that Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all devotees of ISKCON for all time. Prabhupada is only person who is worshipped in a common Guru Puja. There's only one Guru Puja in ISKCON, and that is Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja. That clearly indicates that GBC is recognizing that Srila Prabhupada is the Guru for all the devotees of ISKCON. And so on and so forth. There are so many such indications, very clear indications. But somehow the concept hasn't properly filtered down. And it takes time, and we have to endeavor. But my problem is that I'm so busy, and especially this year, you know, like I'll be extremely busy. This year, very GBC body very mercifully gave the responsibility to organize the fundraising for Turley Case, which means, of course, others are there also, but so that will take up a lot of my time. I'm trying to complete Avacharan this year. That will also take up a lot of my time. But I will seriously consider the point or the advice you gave me. And now I'll also throw a counter request, that you are also such a brilliant personality, such a senior devotee, you are such a wonderful writer and such a wonderful speaker and such a wonderful teacher. So maybe we can join hands. And if not this year, at least at some point, or even in this year, maybe somewhere we can organize such seminars, you know. And in this way we can actually, you know, expand. And so that is the first response. And the response to your second question, you know, my answer will be, it's not that the GBC actually appoints a guru in ISKCON. The way it happens is the local devotees, local leading devotees consisting of 10 senior members, they actually propose some candidate for initiation. Because they see, you know, his track record, his preaching ability, his how people are becoming attracted to him and asking for initiation. So according to this need, they make a recommendation. And then GBC body actually circulates the candidate's candidature. And if not more than 3 GBCs object to that, it passes. So within 6 months, and there's a 6 month period, you know, if anybody has a doubt about that individual, he can raise that point. So that is, you know, the preliminary answer to that question. And the second half, which is not really, hasn't been formalized or institutionalized, that is, see, if we establish the Prabhupada's position as the founder acharya, the main guru, and the present gurus of ISKCON are taking their disciples to Srila Prabhupada, even though this present guru have some spiritual problem at some point, because the followers have been indoctrinated with the understanding that they are actually approaching Srila Prabhupada, even if the guru has difficulty, the devotees will not be affected so badly. But the trouble actually starts, or the trouble actually originated from the concept that Diksha Guru is everything. Your spiritual life is solely tied up to your Diksha Guru. Your Diksha Guru is your deliverer, right? And then when the Diksha Guru falls down, the devotees naturally feel that my spiritual life is shattered. I don't have any hope. the personality whom I thought is the most advanced spiritual support, now that support is not there, so what hope do I have? So this is how, you know, we can eliminate this problem by establishing Srila Prabhupada in his rightful position. And we see that also in ISKCON, that devotees who, in spite of the fall down of the Guru, continue to serve in ISKCON, they are doing fine in their spiritual life. They don't have any problem. Therefore, it is very important that we recognize Srila Prabhupada's special position.
So this kind of event here is proactive.
Right. Exactly.
And it will make our governing body's job a lot easier.
A lot easier.
Actually.
True.
So I'm looking forward to working with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm also looking forward to, naturally, because that's why I proposed.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Chandrasekhar. Yeah.
If a disciple loses his guru falls down, and he doesn't take reinitiation, then does Srila Prabhupada have to come back to bring him back home eventually, or how does it work?
Srila Prabhupada doesn't have to come back. Prabhupada is here. Through ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is here. Right? And whoever remains in ISKCON will make spiritual advancement. And if he doesn't make it back to Godhead, then he'll come back and take birth in ISKCON again. Right? And make further advancement until he becomes purified. 100% purified.
So there's no actual need for reinitiation for such a disciple?
Well, I will say it's a personal thing. Well, personally, I don't like to give reinitiation, because I feel that link has already been established. And, you know, he is in ISKCON, and there is no need for re-linking, because he's already linked. And he is already situated. But sometimes some individuals feel, because, you know, previously that concept hasn't been properly established, that the guru is taking the disciple to Srila Prabhupada, some individuals don't really feel firmly established with that understanding that he is linked with Srila Prabhupada. So he needs a help to become properly linked to Srila Prabhupada. And at times like that, you know, that's why sometimes I am compelled to give reinitiation. Actually, yesterday only I was talking to one devotee. Let me see if he's here. No, he's not here. Anyway, he wanted reinitiation. He has been waiting for a long time, and I've been telling him that there is no need, there is no need. So now finally he actually, I agreed. But still I was talking to him yesterday, and I was asking him, is there any need? Because you're already connected, you're already already situated in ISKCON. And then he came up with that point that he doesn't feel that link with Srila Prabhupada, and he needs the help to have that link, you know. So I asked him, I mean, I can do that as your Shiksha Guru. But because, you know, in the past in ISKCON we have set up certain standard, you know, it's difficult, you know, because the position of the Shiksha Guru hasn't been properly established. So they cannot really relate to that, you know, like how, you know, what will be your special role in my life, in my spiritual life. So finally I said, okay, you know, right. But I told him that I'm not going to change your name.
So
whatever had been your name, you'll continue to have the same name. So in cases like that, I did give the initiation. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.